Portland building that would include actually reclaiming some of the public space in the on the first floor of City Hall and making some what we think could be some really exciting and helpful changes overall, but would provide for and for leveraging technology both in the Portland building and City Hall, creating some additional closed circuit TV capability as well as kind of mobile panic buttons, if you will. That would assist overall in suite security. And then I can't remember the specific hours for the Portland building where there would be staff, but 6 or 7 a.m. till 9 or 10 p.m. Every Monday through Friday, and then 24/7 at the Portland building with full camera. Motion-detected cameras that would be watched from the Portland building directly across the street.
And what about weekend staffing at City Hall?
No weekend staffing in City Hall.
No weekend staffing, is that what you said?
That's correct.
Yeah. Combination of cameras and card locks. Yeah.
I just wonder on that point, I know at least one or two of my colleagues have a question about safety on the weekends, and I think that's a very important point. But also, on the weekends, we host a lot of events in City Hall. So I wonder whether, just from a general liability point of view, we can be open for events, conferences, and other things without having someone physically on site, and whether that raises a liability issue. So I would be concerned about both, Mayor.
Well, there will be someone physically on site. It's just that they'll normally be in the Portland building watching the cameras there. So they can walk across the street in the event of an event.
And then, Commissioner, if I may, in addition to that, what I'm told is that just as we do now, anytime there is an event, reception, after hours, evenings, weekends, et cetera, that they also arrange for security, and that part of our not to exceed contract provides for that kind of flexibility. So if and as there are specific events, there is security on site at City Hall at that time.
I think then that the organizing event has to pay for that security, because I know that if the Office of Neighborhood Involvement has evening meetings in the Portland buildings, we sometimes have to pay for it.
If I may, Commissioner, I believe the hours are until 9 or 10 p.m. And so if there is security Monday through Friday after 9 or 10 p.m., then yeah, there may be an incremental cost. But
so that's actually extended from now, because now that's we have been charged for meetings that finish before 10 p.m.
Yeah, I think
it would be really helpful to get the numbers as to how many staff are being cut.
Yeah, why don't we get a memo to the council? Remember, again, in terms of the budget, this is a line item for a contract that's a not-to-exceed amount where we have the flexibility to call on that contract, as Gail just mentioned, if we need more or less of something over the course of the year. So, yes, there's a budget cut in this line item. Yes, that budget cut is based on an assumption of reconfiguring the way we do security in the two buildings and reducing the total number of people on duty during the weekday. But we still have the flexibility as to say, well, a month or two or 6 months from now, well, we'd like to do something differently. And we have a 30-day notice provision in that on-call contract. We can change it like that.
So what is the difference in the contract between this year and proposed for next?
Somebody can pull that line
well, maybe
item
if
up.
You could, as you suggested, get us all a memo.
Yeah.
That really outlines the big picture here so we can at least mull it over between now and when we adopt the final budget June 20th. And if we want to tweak it, we can tweak it.
Okay.
And while you're here, Gail, I have another question, and that it pertains to the same issue. You had responded to some of my concerns yesterday. I had been inquiring about adding an additional enhanced neighborhood inspector, and your response that we could add it back as part of the adopted budget. So I'm not sure. I thought that this was basically it today and that the vote in a month is just a formality. So I'm questioning both the security and that potential amendment.
So I'll answer those first from a process standpoint. So what Council's doing today, as the budget committee is approving the budget, the budget will now go to the Tax Supervising and Conservation Commission. They have 20 days to review it. We'll have the TSCC hearing. which will also have testimony, and then we come back for final budget adoption. Council can make changes to the adopted budget on June 20th. There are some restrictions in terms of no fund can change more than 10%, can change up by more than 10%. It can go down as much as you want it to. But in the general fund, that's a huge dollar amount, so that's not an issue. Some of our very small funds, we sometimes run into that limit. But in any of our large bureau funds or the general fund, that 10% is usually a very large number. So any changes can be made in terms of amendments to that adopted budget. Specifically on the issue of the inspector, we were just informed yesterday that BDS believes they have some funding. I'm sorry, BDS has some funding that they can use to fund that position. They asked for an amendment to put that in just because it was so last minute. We said, why don't we hold off on that for the adopted budget just to make sure that everything's entered correctly and we thought through it. So I think my understanding is BDS's plan is to come back in the adopted budget to add that position back.
Okay,
that adds a position doesn't necessarily change the dollar amount, right?
It would not be general funded. It would be funded within BDS's budget.
Right.
So again, their own funds that they're being used. So their total budget would not change.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Further questions for staff?
Charlie, are you making comments today? Because normally
we make yes. Yeah, I think I'll make comments as we vote. So I think we're ready for a roll call.
Fish.
Well, this is perhaps the most important event in our annual calendar. It's the approval of a budget and the end of a long and complex process. And the way we sort of give due weight to this event is we have a chance to make a few comments about how we got here and what we're doing. Mayor and colleagues, we started with a $25 million hole, which was then reduced to about $22 million. And this was clearly a daunting budget cycle. But with a new approach and a new council, I believe we've crafted a responsible budget that reflects our community's values. First, we work with the Independent City Budget Office, led by Andrew Scott, and created by council last year. And I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for her leadership, because I think this was a significant and important change in our business. And I want to thank particularly Andrew and his capable team for their guidance throughout and for what I believe was a more open and transparent process as a result. Next, Mayor Hales announced two significant changes that I think are noteworthy. One was modified zero-based budgeting, which 6 months ago, there was only like one downtown property owner who knew what that was. And I think now everyone at council understands that essentially what it is based on is the idea that everybody has to show a 10% cut, and everybody has to seek a 10% add back, and everyone will be treated the same. As you said, Mayor, no sacred cows. I believe this fundamentally changed the budget process, and I hope we'll do it again next year, because I think it's been very salutary. And second was the idea of a council subcommittee process, which produced a lot of innovative ideas which were incorporated into the budget, like the span of control study, bridge funding to protect equity gains, and new administrative savings. There's real pain in this budget. Programs will be cut, and people are going to lose their jobs. And you cannot close a $22 million hole without making tough choices. But I believe the budget choices we're making today in approving this budget reflect the values that Portlanders shared with us at community budget forums, at council, and in emails and phone calls. And I just want to highlight four. The first is protect the safety net. Public understood, and this budget reflects the value that you do not close shelters and reduce services for the homeless individuals and families during a recession. And I want to express my gratitude to the coalition that lobbied for no cuts and to the mayor for clearly recognizing that the safety net is a basic service. Second, fund vital programs for children and seniors. From sun schools and teen programs to senior rec and summer lunch program, we are investing in strong families and healthy children. Third, invest in neighborhoods. We continue investments in the East Portland Action Plan, and funded, and this is important, with ongoing dollars, the rental housing inspectors who keep our apartments safe. And Mayor, for the first time in many years, we protected the Parks Bureau from potentially devastating cuts, which would have put our parks, trails, and natural areas at further risk. And finally, focus on neighborhood small businesses. Small businesses are the engine of job creation in our community, and they produce most of the new jobs. That's why in this budget we'll continue to fund Venture Portland, Main Street Program, and the Village Market in the New Columbia. And today, the council has committed to increase the business owner's compensation deduction to at least $100,000 in tax year 2014. We have come through the worst of this recession, and there are hopeful signs of a local recovery and the prospect of greater opportunity for struggling families. This year, we changed the way we do the people's business, and I am proud of the result. Thank you, Mayor Hales, for leading this effort, and my fellow commissioners for the open and collaborative way this budget was crafted. Thanks to the citizens of Portland for helping to guide us as we made very difficult choices. Thanks to our partners at Multnomah County for working to limit the impact of cuts to programs our community deeply values. And thanks to the public servants who work hard and thanks to the public servants whose hard work and professionalism make me proud to hold this office. From Bureau staff and directors to the City Budget Office to the hardworking team in my office. I vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I appreciate a lot of the hard work and perseverance shown by my colleagues on the council, the leadership of Mayor Hills and his new staff in coming to grips with a huge budget deficit in his first year of office as mayor, first 6 months, I guess. And it's been a struggle, but I think it's one that people from the budget office to all of our staffs, to the bureaus, and to the many citizens who appeared at the seemingly countless hearings we had on the budget when it was before it was proposed and after it was proposed. They were well attended. I think the process worked. Many people who showed up to testify on an issue saw some results in this budget we're about to adopt today, and that's as it should be. So I'm very pleased to support this budget. I appreciate all the hard work again that's been put into this, and pleased to vote aye.
Novick.
I am honored to have been a part of this process, and I'd like to thank many of the same people that my colleagues just thanked. I want to thank, as Commissioner Fish did, the county for stepping up and helping us limit the damage to important programs such as Sun Schools and the senior centers. I'd like to thank my colleagues for their hard work and their progressive values. I think it's very significant that in the mayor's initial budget, the one set of programs that did not take any cuts was the set of safety net programs. And I think that was a reflection of the values of the mayor and of this council. I want to thank the city employees who are part of this budget process and gave us the information that we needed. Thank the city employees who work hard for the city every day. And thank the city employees and the employees of our contractors who will lose their jobs in this budget because there are, as Commissioner Fish said, some layoffs for their service. I want to thank all of the citizens who came to numerous budget forums. Some of them had to sit through several forums until finally they came to one they got a chance to speak. I thank them for their input, for their passion, and for their patience. I didn't like particularly to thank the mayor for the thoughtful and calm and collaborative fashion in which he has managed this process. I remember a few months before I took office having a conversation with Eric Stinn where he said, always remember, cut the mayor some slack. Being a commissioner is easy. Being the mayor is hard. I have to say that although I know that it is hard, Mayor Hales is so consistently patient and calm that he makes it look easy. Finally, I'd like to thank CenturyLink and its customers because it was in part the small adjustment to the telephone tax structure made by the last council that helped us to balance this budget. And although CenturyLink did litigate against us, they did step up and write a check as soon as we went at the trial court level. And I think perhaps we should acknowledge that in some way. I mean, perhaps, for example, from now on, the Mounted Patrol should be known as the CenturyLink Mounted Patrol. And on the topic of the Mounted Patrol, I cannot resist saying that now that they are a quartet, I think it's high time that they had a theme song. And that theme song should be the classic work by the only band that matters, The Clash. The song being, of course, four horsemen. Finally, I'd like to thank my staff, to whom I owe everything in the world. Thanks again, and I'm proud to vote aye.
Fritz.
The mayor's proposed budget does include many choices that I commend and support. Some of the most positive services funded include full funding for the Portland Housing Bureau's safety net, homelessness safety net. Homelessness and houselessness are issues that are beyond the city's ability to eliminate, but this set of programs goes a long way towards helping meet housing and shelter needs in our community. I commend Commissioner Fish, Housing Director Tracy Manning, and our community partners for making this priority clear. Restoration of two-thirds of the proposed cuts in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, ONI, including funding for the East Portland Action Plan and graffiti abatement, are extremely positive. The Office of Neighborhood Involvement is a bureau that promotes connections between neighborhoods, diverse communities, and the city government. As a small bureau, it cannot endure the cuts that larger bureaus survive on an ongoing basis, and this year took it beyond its capacity to rebound and support vital community programs. The partial restoration of funding helps the survival of ONI and our community partners. By no means is this enough, but the partial restoration will help. Let's be very clear. ONI is an infrastructure bureau. It supports the most vital infrastructure in Portland, community engagement. Director Amalia Alaconda Morris and her outstanding staff exemplify doing more with less, aided by over 3,000 volunteers who are the true core of our community engagement infrastructure system. Other positives in the mayor's proposed budget include funding for all of the Sun Schools and for Buckman Pool and the Selwood Community Center. Community facilities and Sun Schools serve a vital role in our community, way beyond the simple budgetary equation of value for dollars spent. The value of community centers and after-school programs goes deep into the fabric of our neighborhoods, keeping families and individuals secure and whole as productive members of our community. I'm very pleased with funding for Cheers and Hoopa Detox, previously a subject that has come up time and again and funded in the mayor's proposed budget. This program continues to provide dividends and is a model around the nation. I am grateful that these programs were safe right from the start under the mayor's proposal. We continue to fund Future Connect and Southeast Works, two programs that have proven success in supporting at-risk youth and first-generation college students to navigate away from welfare and incarceration. I appreciate that the mayor and his staff took the time to learn about these programs, reversing the initial actions to defund both. Mayor Sam Adams was a champion for some excellent initiatives. I am happy that Mayor Hales agrees with that Future Connect and Southeast Works are among the programs that deserve ongoing support. I'm very happy with continued support for VOS. This program serves both day laborer workers and employers wanting to ensure a fair day's pay for a fair day's work. I'm gratified that this special appropriation that I put on the table was funded in the mayor's proposed budget. I'm happy with ongoing general fund allocations for the Forest Park Ranger and decorative fountains in parks. I believe this money is well spent for maintaining the aesthetics of our downtown water feature amenities and securing the vast reaches of the largest urban natural park in the nation. I'm happy with restoration of continued funding for the East Portland Action Plan with no set sunset date. East Portlanders understand and agree that this funding will eventually end, but more time is needed to activate and continue to harness the tremendous community support that exists in this area of the city. I appreciate the support of commissioners in removing the clause in the proposed budget note that would have ended funding for East Portland Action Plan after this year. The revised note is much more appropriate. And I appreciate that rates in solid waste and water are lower. I've been very pleased with the level of community engagement in the budget process and the mayor's willingness to take and incorporate citizens' input. I appreciate my colleagues on the council listening to community input over three long budget events, both before and after their proposed budget. Thanks to everyone who attended budget events, sent emails and letters and phone calls, and even those who stopped me at Fred Meyer at 10:45 in the evening to share their concerns. Mayor, this has been the toughest budget in terms of cuts that we have encountered in my 5 years on the council. Mayor Hales has wedded his new philosophy with a $25 million budget shortfall, as we thought at the beginning, apparently now down to $16 million. I appreciate the effort and difficulty of doing that. The mayor's attempts to get the bureaus lean for the right reasons, for what the bureaus are really intended to provide and get both and to get both the county and the city supporting programs more linked to our areas of expertise and responsibility is a laudable goal. The difficulty with this approach has been that the mayor and his staff have not always known the history of a particular program, how it integrates with city and county issues and needs, and whether or not it is a basic service or a vital service that, if cut, will have unsafe and unsustainable impacts. For me, unsustainable means going backwards in programs that have historically been underfunded. We've been trying to play catch-up, yet further cuts have been extracted. This is happening with human trafficking and anti-prostitution services and with Friends of Trees and Stormwater Services previously funded by rates in the Bureau of Environmental Services. Are trees basic services in the strict sense of stormwater conveyance and sewer system maintenance? Some would say no, trees are not part of that basic service. Prostitution and human trafficking treatment and recovery, are they strictly related to public safety? Maybe no, not a basic service to the police bureau. Sun schools are not part of parks as recreation or sun or parks maintenance services, so no, they are not a basic service either. But in the larger picture, all of these are basic services that deserve funding. I had hoped that after years of mistakes in government, environmental, public safety, and human service policies, we maybe would have come to understand that separation into neat compartments and silos is not possible. We operate as a system as it pertains to stormwater and trees, to public safety and domestic violence and prostitution, to keeping our kids in school and to the long-term resilience of our community. We cannot separate each into its own area without creating holes that can have grave impacts on the environment and on people's lives. We cannot and should not say this is a city function or this is a county function. Vital services that people depend on are community functions. People in Portland don't care which agency funds vital services. Partnerships are stronger than silos and work better. Providing services should be considered an honor in which we work with the county. And that has been the case on many of the programs that have been cross-funded, including the aging and disability services, services to seniors, and Sun schools. And some have said that this is one of the best budgets that has occurred in some time because it tries to get government in the business of providing only basic services. But basic services must be defined on a system-wide scale of thinking. I am the author of the phrase, spending taxpayers' money wisely to provide basic services. I was elected with that promise in 2008, and because I lived it for 4 years, I was re-elected to continue pursuing that goal by 60% of the electorate last year. If government is finding holes in the social and environmental fabric of our community because the private sector and nonprofits cannot fill the holes, then filling the holes becomes a basic service that all governments must work together to fund. From my perspective, this has been a less collaborative budget process than the one that I experienced over the last 4 years. Services that I consider highest priority for city funding have been dismissed as either not important or somebody else's responsibility. Until today, the 5 members of the council have not met as a board of directors to discuss the information we heard in the budget work sessions or to set priorities. There wasn't even one work session to discuss each member's concerns after all of that public process. Funding for 5 offices and 3 support staff for the Mounted Patrol was announced without asking the rest of the council's opinions about priorities in the Portland Police Bureau. My priority for restoring positions in the Portland Police Bureau is the 4 of 18 offices being cut from Family Services, which addresses domestic violence, child abuse, and elder abuse. That's 22% of resources in the Police Bureau that was dedicated to investigation of domestic violence, child abuse, and elder abuse, which is now cut in the budget that the council is about to adopt. For sure, horses and the mounted patrols have many virtues. People die from domestic violence, child abuse, and elder abuse. Funding the Mounted Patrol instead of the Family Services Officer is troubling, but even more so is the 24% cut to services for women and children escaping human trafficking. This budget today cuts $117,000 in support for shelters, providing safe treatment for these most vulnerable members of our community. Some have said that shelter and treatment for women and child survivors of human trafficking should be a county function. Healing the scars of prostitution, getting women on the right track back to being productive members of society, and preventing the damaging and long-term impacts to society and the police of child abuse and human trafficking is a city, county, state, and federal problem. This is not something we can kick down the road anymore. We have been doing that for far too long. It is a city function to help victims escape the mental and physical misery in which they are enslaved, since our current level of law enforcement cannot stop men from paying for sex with children and enslaved women. Already, our current funding level in this fiscal year is like applying a Band-Aid to a ruptured aorta with uncontrolled bleeding. Either we must allocate more resources to stop domestic violence and child abuse, or we must pay for the consequences of failing to do so, This budget cuts at both ends. I cannot visit the shelter for children escaping from prostitution and look them in the eyes if I vote to cut funding for their safe shelter and treatment. I'm discouraged that the only woman on the council is the only member who finds this unconscionable. There are other cuts that I find troubling and other places I would have advocated for funding had I been asked. I wasn't asked about adding another $500,000 to the parks budget. I wasn't asked about cutting the Office of Healthy Working Rivers before the cut was proposed, and there has never been a thoughtful discussion about the reasons why. The council created the Office of Healthy Working Rivers. Eliminating it by defunding it avoids discussion of the challenges it was created to address. These challenges remain. I would like to have pointed out how many programs are essential to have supporting and enhancing our basic police services, how moving general fund dollars to support tree programs and the mounted patrol and additional parks personnel could have been better spent funding essential programs combating prostitution, domestic violence, human trafficking. The mayor has put $1 million into an innovation fund, which we know very little about, and yet the council is defunding successful programs that really do work in filling the holes in our system of government. This budget defunds the chief financial officer position, which I believe is not prudent. Cutting $200,000 from the Friends of Trees contract is not necessary. Cutting $20,000 from Solve is not necessary. Funding stormwater management programs with scarce general fund programs is not necessary. The city has been a good partner to environmental groups in the community over the past 4 years. As Bob Salinger of the Portland Audubon Society said, this budget may set us back 20 years. I have been a community organizer in Portland and now the city council member since 1991. It hurts me deeply and personally to see the direction of this budget regarding green infrastructure in the Bureau of Environmental Services, which is a reverse of the gains made over those 20 years. There are, again, many good things in this budget. The mayor and his new staff had a huge task before them. The city budget office has been immensely helpful, and I am very proud of my work with Commissioners Fish and Saltzman last year, establishing this office as a separate bureau accountable to all members of council. Still, I am disappointed that pieces of the budget, which would have been so easy to fix, remain unfunded. I am disappointed about the $50,000 cut in the Alberta and Hillsdale Main Street programs, lack of funding for staff support for the Multnomah Youth Commission, lack of funding for utility analysts in the city budget office, and the continued absence of a special appropriation to implement the earned sick leave ordinance. I worry that we will be battling again over Sun Schools, Aging and Disability Services, Buckman Pool, and other valued community services next year or the year after. When general fund money became available due to the lawsuit settlement, when rate dollars could have been used to appropriately fund environmental programs, the money was diverted elsewhere or left unallocated. As we continue to climb out of the recession, I believe available funding should be used to provide services and jobs. I don't usually make such a long and in-depth speech. I was re-elected to speak the truth as I see it every day, and I plan to continue doing exactly that. Some would say that the dollar amounts of my issues in numbers compared with the whole budget is small, and that's true. Some say that something is better than nothing. When we're talking about vital basic services such as treatment for people escaping prostitution, something is not enough. We should prioritize services and needs so that vulnerable people struggling to survive are more important than things like additional maintenance in parks. Yes, $117,000 out of a budget in the hundreds of millions is a small investment. So I'm particularly disappointed that it was not funded. I cannot vote in favor of cutting 24% from the budget for the Janus Youth and LifeWorks Northwest New Options for Women programs when we clearly have the resources. I do appreciate all the work that has gone into this budget, especially those on the mayor's and the budget office staff, but I am sad to say that I must vote no.
Hales.
Well, first, some thank yous. Andrew, you and your staff have done excellent work, and I want to thank you all for a huge number of hours. I think you've spent more time with me and my staff than you have with your families for the past several months, so thank you for a job well done. The bureau directors and staffs in the bureaus, we did really put people through their paces with this modified zero-based budget. And we asked you to make hard choices and difficult recommendations and use that as the starting point for this very extensive public process that my colleagues have talked about. I'm very proud of that process. I think this community has seen a council that has really listened and really thought carefully about our priorities and about the earnest desires of people in this community that want things done and has tried in every at every opportunity to respond. And I really appreciate the good work that's been done. There are some core values in this budget that are very important to me and I think reflect the will of this community and the vision of this council. And that is we have made good on our commitment to children. We have made good on our commitment to the most vulnerable people in this city and to seniors and to quality life in our neighborhoods and to public safety. We've done all those things while I think probably managing the most difficult budget problem that we'll get a chance to work on together. Let's hope we don't have to exceed this benchmark ever. I don't think we will, because as folks have noted here, the economy is on the rise, and Portland is a great place with a great future. People are investing in that future, and that will pay dividends to our budget and to our ability to provide good services for this community. Some reflections on things maybe learned or relearned in this budget process and areas where I plan to spend quite a bit of time in the next few months before we really get deeply involved in preparing another budget. One is that partnership works. It works with Friends of Trees. It's worked at the 11th hour with the Friends of the Mounted Patrol organizing themselves to raise a very substantial amount of money to keep a reduced version of a beloved public service going. And those partnerships, whether it's with housing providers or nonprofits that deal with the victims of sex trafficking, those partnerships are very important. And we have relearned in this budget that they allow us to spend scarce public dollars in a very thoughtful way and get a lot of leverage with volunteers and outside fundraising to do what the community wants to see done. Another set of discussions that has been intense in this budget that I'm going to spend more time in, and that is the discussion between the city of Portland and the county of Multnomah about who does what, in what measure, and where can we better organize the provision of public services by two general purpose governments that occupy 80% of the same real estate. There's a lot of work to do to clarify those missions and roles and responsibilities, and Chair Kogan and I not only I think have proven capable of getting to yes on this budget, but we'll prove capable of leading that discussion between our two governing bodies about these important constitutional issues, if you will, about what the counties, what the county government will be doing and what we'll be doing. This council subcommittee mechanism that we used in the preparation of this budget, I think, has proven very effective, and I really appreciate the good work that all of my colleagues put into that process, albeit in a very short window of time. So one lesson learned from this process, I believe, is that's a good idea, and we need to give it even more time to function even more effectively in the future. Excuse me, in the future. Finally, we have made a real dedication to basic services in this budget. We've talked a lot about the general fund issues here in this discussion, but we have managed to continue a progressive approach to water and BES's programs while reducing their proposed rate increase spectacularly. It's not as low as some people would like, but to get that combined rate increase under 5% is something that I'm proud of, and I think responds to an earnest plea from our citizens and ratepayers to mind the costs. In our Transportation Bureau, we'll hear more about this later today, but we've made a real commitment to basic maintenance with the resources that we have. Now, there's some areas in the city of Portland, aside from the general fund itself, where we're going to need additional resources. One of them is to make good on the construction of parks and community centers in parts of the city that don't have them yet. And this council, I hope, will be working well together to take that idea and make it real. And another is in transportation, even with the best of management, and Toby Widmer and his team have done a great job, but even with the best of management, we don't have enough money going into our street system, into our transportation system, and we need to get serious, and I am serious, about finding new revenue there. So all in all, this has been a difficult process, but it's been a very valid one, where citizens came forward with good ideas and priorities, and the council listened, where our city bureaus worked effectively to queue up choices for this council, and where this council has deliberated with care. The bottom line, this is a city that is now leaner, but not meaner, and I'm very proud of that result. Aye. Thank you all.
Just one more important
Andrew,
thing.
Andrew, I will note for the record that I made a private wager with you that the 15 minutes requested might have been on the conservative and true to your conservative budgeting, you put down 15 minutes. I thought that might be stretching it, but I will collect in private.
Collect indeed.
So just one more thing on the table today. And actually, before we move on to that, so one, thanks for the comments about the City Budget Office. And the analysts are hiding back in the back row. And I could just we really quickly have them stand up. Stand up. That's the
don't be shy.
Good work. They do an incredible amount of work during this period of time, and I think you've all seen that. I think the bureaus have seen that, and they balance that, both dealing with the very, very technical issues, the nitty-gritty of making sure the budget comes together, and also dealing with the high-level and very difficult and challenging policy issues with the bureaus and with council. So they do a great job keeping me from messing things up, and so I want to personally thank them on the record. Last thing the council needs to do is approve the tax levies.
Yes. So the Budget Committee now needs to address the tax levies. The city shall levy its full permanent rate of $4.5770 per thousand of assessed value and $10,727,509 for the payment of voter-approved general obligation bond principal and interest, and $136,383,540 for the obligations for the Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Fund, and $0.4026 per thousand of assessed value for the children's levy. Furthermore, the city shall levy the amounts listed in the attachment E for urban renewal collections. It's now appropriate that we take a motion on the approval of the tax levies.
So moved.
Any further discussion? Anyone here to testify on that item? If not, roll call, please.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
I'd just like to take a moment to acknowledge that all of these services we've talked about are paid for by taxes and by taxpayers. People do get something for their money, something that sometimes is forgotten in parts of America. And in the city, for the most part, property taxes pay for police and fire and parks and a bunch of other services we value, from Sun schools to senior centers. Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society. And we in the city tried to give the citizens of Portland a civilized society in return for their taxes. Aye.
Fritz.
Yes, taxes pay for services and to fund jobs that then provide services. So I appreciate the taxpayers of Portland for providing the funding. Aye.
Hales.
Aye. And so now I'm going to adjourn the Budget Committee session and declare a 5-minute recess before we take up the next item. Thank you all.
Thank you.